As Paul was saying, we are in the end, a bit of a short series called Devotion, where we're looking at the subject of what are some of the key building blocks for the Christian life, for the Christian faith. Now that you've become a Christian, now that you know Jesus, what are some of the key things then that you need to build into your life in terms of habits and practices, things that will help you get to know Jesus more? And so far, we've looked at the subjects of developing a personal prayer life, so that you have a life with Jesus outside of church meetings, which is very important. And then last week, if you heard Paul preach on Scripture and the importance of basing our lives in the truth of Scripture, that was an absolutely goldmine of a preach. I want to encourage you to listen to that at all, if at all possible. And this evening, we're looking to the subject of encountering God through hearing His voice. So this is like the third kind of foundation stone that we want to make sure is in our lives as Christian believers. And we're recommending books each week. And this week is an absolute classic called Surprised by the Voice of God by Jack Deere. Just wave at me if you've read this. Good. Excellent. This is an absolutely brilliant book on this whole subject of hearing God speak to us. And it's written by a man called Jack Deere, who many years ago taught in a theological seminary in America and taught against the fact that God still spoke today. That was his theological position. And he said, actually, all you need today is the Bible, and God doesn't speak through any other means now. Even though he did in Scripture, he doesn't do that anymore. But through a process of God really meeting with him incredibly powerfully, him personally hearing God speak to him, he radically changed his viewpoint on that particular subject matter. And so he has become a real leading voice. He is a great theologian, a great writer on this whole subject of hearing the voice of God. And I want to urge you, if you can, to get hold of this resource. There's some available at the end if you want to get hold of one. But I'd like to give this to someone who would really like to hear the voice of God at the moment. Yes. Right, Sarah, come on. The loudest voice got it. There you go. Well done. So do get hold of that afterwards if you can. So we're going to turn to the pages of Scripture in just a moment, but before we do that, why don't we just quickly pray and just welcome the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord, we thank you so much for your presence here this evening. Thank you that you love to meet with your people. Lord, thank you that you've been looking forward to this evening much more than we have. Lord, you've been planning things. God, you have been in the process of setting an agenda for tonight. God, you have things in your heart to give to us. And we thank you, Father, for our assurance that whenever we gather together, you're in the midst of us. And I pray right now, Spirit of God, would you take the very words that you inspired in Scripture and use them like a sword in our hearts. Use your word like a penetrating sword, Lord, to change our perspective, to change our priorities, to equip us for life. Holy Spirit, we want your presence. God, we just say we don't want to go through any kind of religious motions or be on any kind of religious treadmill. We say we stir our hearts right now to hear your voice speaking to us. We love you, God. Why don't you just, where you're sitting right now, just talk to him and say, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me tonight? Let me hear your voice personally speaking to me. You know, mate, you may not even be a Christian here tonight. You can still pray this. You can still say, Jesus, if you're there, please speak to me. I want to see if you're really there. Speak to me. Holy Spirit, just engage with him right where you're sitting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Love you, God. I love you, God. Thank you, Lord. Love you, God. Love your presence. Love your presence. Thank you, Lord. I feel like God might want to speak to one or two right now. I actually felt for John Brown. God wanted to just quickly say something to you. I know we know each other a little bit from, well, years ago, when you guys used to pile down to Brighton. But I just felt this, that God, I felt God wanted to say that your move here was not a move about pragmatism, but was about his presence. And I've no idea why you chose to move here, but what I feel God's saying, actually, it has much more to do with your pursuit for his presence than it is to do purely with kind of pragmatic, practical issues. And that actually God has got you on a hunt for his presence. And there's a sense in which you are, some of the pragmatic stuff is there, but actually there's a bigger reason for you being here. And it's actually about a fresh pursuit for the presence of God in your own life. And it's almost like I can see almost a bit of a desert season where stuff that was living has kind of gone back into the earth, awaiting a fresh season of rain. It's waiting almost for the monsoon rain to come again and bring life to it. And almost feel like that's a little bit of a picture of perhaps what's been happening in your life in a season where you've been in perhaps an arid season, but there's life under the soil, there's life under the surface. And I just feel that there are encounters even tonight, actually, in the presence of God, and that he has an agenda for you here that's to do with seeing breakout in the presence of God, not just in church circles, but actually out into the world. And I almost feel like God's going to just resurrect some creativity, even in your thinking about what it is that he's called you to do. And that there's going to be an unsettling again, a good unsettling in your hearts. And that you're not going to just be settled, actually, with having a nice wife and some children and a job. But actually, there's going to be some unsettling going on in your heart in terms of your aspirations in God. And almost like a time of fresh dreaming. And I don't know if you're booked on the Dreaming with God course, but I think something like that is a really key thing at the minute for you. That it's almost like God wants to breathe on some dreams and resurrect some promises that are under there. And I think as well, there's going to come a season of songwriting. I don't know if you write songs. But I think actually there's going to come back on your agenda in your own personal worship times, a fresh language for worshiping him, and a kind of just a freshness in intimacy with Jesus. So I hope some of that makes sense to you, mate. All right, cool. That's good. Is anyone here who's bought a car in the last maybe 3 or 4 months? I think it's like a second-hand car. I don't know if it's got like 10 or 12,000 miles on, something like that. Is that, yeah? Your husband has. I don't suppose it's a green car, is it? It's red. Okay. Well, you can't get it all right. Okay. I just feel like maybe God's got something that he wants to say to you as well. I'm not quite sure what, but why don't we just quickly take a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, Jesus, I thank you that you know the details of our life. Lord, thank you that you are intimately concerned with each one of our lives. Lord Jesus, I want to pray. I want to pray, Lord, for a clarity of your voice. Thank you, God. I think actually it's a promise of God for your family. That actually almost feel like God is, I think this whole thing of the vehicle, it's almost like God is giving you a new vehicle to get where you need to go. And that there are some fresh stirrings, even in your family, even in your husband, in your wider family, in terms of pursuing God. And I almost feel like you've been looking for a way in which to pursue the dreams that God's given you. I think particularly that has to do with some areas of ministry and outreach. And maybe you're kind of looking for an avenue in which to pursue the dreams that God's given you. I think it has to do with some kind of area of community impact, some kind of area of social justice, perhaps, even something around education. I feel like there's some things that God's got for you, even as a husband and wife team, in terms of the way in which you work together and minister together. And it's like I can see perhaps two worlds that have been slightly separate, God bringing them together into one vehicle. And that this is a season, actually, for fresh impetus and growth. Almost like having a new car enables you to get where you want to go much quicker than you could before. And I feel like it's a season of acceleration for you. I think as well, in terms of your prayers for your own family, that there's a sense of acceleration in seeing answers from God in your family. And I don't know if there are members in your wider family who don't yet know Christ or who are backsliding at the moment. But again, I just feel like there's a time of acceleration for them. And it's a season to be asking God specifically for breakthrough. So I hope some of that makes some sense to you as well. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. That's good. Apart from the green when it was red. So almost perfect. I think so. I'm not going to ask you to respond to this word, but I felt there's a gentleman here. And the word I had was betrayal. And I think you've actually, you've come even tonight And the story of your recent past has been one of feeling incredibly betrayed. And I think you've been through quite a difficult marriage breakup, and also there's been a key death in your family. But I think in your past, you grew up in church, and you grew up almost like with religion very familiar to you. And I think you've actually experienced betrayal from a number of different people, but ultimately you have a sense of betrayal from God, and you've wondered where he was in those moments. And I just feel like the Father wants to say to you, he knows you and he loves you, and that there are answers coming for you, and that it's no accident that you're here this evening. And if you'd like some prayer at the end, I would love to pray with you if you'd like to come and introduce yourself to me. So, well, we're going to carry on listening to God. I want to encourage you to keep listening to God as I'm speaking. Now, one of the amazing things about Jesus is that he's not dead. Which always seems to me like really good news, that Jesus isn't in a grave anymore. He's not hanging on a cross anymore. Actually, he rose again. He is now living, reigning, ruling victoriously over all things. And we should expect that he speaks to people today because he's alive. And it should be the most normal thing in the world that when you come and engage with him, that he begins to speak to you. Because he's alive and he loves you. And after all, he made you. And he knows every detail of your life perfectly. And so that's why this subject of tuning in and learning to listen to the voice of God is such a crucial one. And hearing someone's voice is such a wonderful thing. This came home to me a few years ago when my family and I got a chance to pray for a gentleman who came to us in a field, actually, at a Bible camp, Bible week. And he said, "Would you please pray for me?" And we said, "Yes, sure. What's wrong?" He said, "Well, I am completely tone deaf." Now, it wasn't just that he was a bad singer, like some of us, but he literally had no tone recognition in his ears whatsoever. So if you phoned him up on the telephone, he couldn't tell if you were a man or a woman by the tone of your voice. He had no voice recognition whatsoever in his ears. And this condition was so rare that Newcastle University wrote a paper on him because it was such a rare condition. And he came to us and said, "Do you think God can heal me?" And we said, "Well, of course he can. Why don't we pray and see what he wants to do?" And so we prayed for him in the field. Nothing seemed to happen there and then. But I said to him, "Go away and come back and tell me if you notice any difference." Well, he came bounding up to me the day after with a silly grin on his face. And he said, "You'll never guess what's happened." I said, "What? Tell me." And he said, "Well, last night I was serving in the bookshop, serving people books, and I suddenly realized there was music playing in the background and I could hear two female harmony parts in the music." And he said, "I've never, ever been able to hear that from the day I was born." And he said, "I was so excited that I turned up early to the worship team practice and just sat at the back listening." And he said, "I could make out every single note in the music." And he said, "I've never been able to do that." And in fact, he said his wife came and found him and said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm listening to the music." And he said, "I'm completely healed." I mean, it was an incredible miracle. But you know, for that man, that kind of wonder of suddenly being able to have voice recognition and recognize who it was that was speaking to him was just an incredible wonder. And it is an incredible thing to hear someone's voice. And researchers will tell us that you can tell a lot about someone just by listening to their voice. So apparently in studies that have been done, if you play a recording of someone's voice, most people will be able to tell roughly the kind of height you are, the kind of weight you are, the kind of emotional state that you're in at the time when you're speaking. All these different facts, kind of, we can sometimes just tune into someone's voice and they tell us, they convey information about someone. So, for example, when my wife heard my voice for the first time, she could tell that I was very tall and incredibly muscular just by hearing my voice. But when we hear God's voice, it doesn't just convey information about God. When God speaks, life happens. His voice doesn't just convey information, nice facts. His voice conveys life itself. So this is what the Bible says right at the beginning of the story, Genesis 1 verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Listen to this. "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." See, God's words have creative power. And you see, this universe, this galaxy in which you live, is hooked up to a giant power source, and it's called the voice of God. And Hebrews 1 says this, that God right now is sustaining all things by the power of his word. Or Colossians 1:17 says, everything that has been made, in him all things that were made through him. His word sustains all the galaxies. This here is the Andromeda galaxy, which is the nearest galaxy to the Milky Way. The Milky Way has about 400 billion stars in it. Now, the Andromeda galaxy has about 1 trillion stars in it. And it's about 2.5 million light years away. If you want the maths on that, then you need to do this sum. 6 trillion miles multiplied by 2.5 million. And that is the nearest galaxy to us. And it has 1 trillion stars in it. Scientists estimate there are at least 100 billion galaxies in the known universe, which currently, in our understanding, is about 90 million light years across. And Scripture says he sustains all things by the power of his word. Scary. This same voice that speaks to you and I is the same voice that right now sustains all living matter. Every atom, every molecule, every DNA is held together by his voice, because he spoke something you and I are breathing right now. And when God speaks, it conveys life. And so that is why in Scripture, when you on one occasion get Jesus calling Lazarus, who'd been dead for 4 days, out of the grave, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus didn't have a choice. He had no choice about the matter, because Jesus spoke. And when Jesus speaks, life comes. That's why when Jesus spoke to the storm that was raging around the boat that he was in, he was incredibly peaceful. And he could just say, be still. The storm had no choice, because Jesus' words carry life. That's why when he called your name to follow him, you had no choice in the matter. That's a whole other kind of theological issue. But when he speaks, life happens. His words have life. And I don't know whether you've ever tried to live by bread alone. I did actually once try to do that. I decided, it was one of my more foolish decisions, that I was going to do a partial fast and only eat white bread for 6 days. Which my wife had some concerns about, but I didn't listen to her. And all I can say is that I ate a lot of muesli after that particular fast. But I wish I'd read the Bible, because Deuteronomy, and Jesus quotes Deuteronomy and says, man shall not live by bread alone. I wish I'd read that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What's he saying? He's saying, actually, you are designed to live not just off material things, but you are designed to live off every word that comes from his mouth. Because in his words, there is life itself. And so the question is, how good are you and I at listening to his voice? Because if his words carry life, then this issue is of paramount importance to your Christian faith. And so to help us, we're going to look at some words of Jesus in John chapter 10. If you've got a Bible, you might want to turn to it. If not, the words will come up just behind me. And here Jesus is teaching his disciples and kind of using an agricultural countryside analogy about sheep and shepherds. And this is what he says in John chapter 10 verse 1. He said, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Let's look at a few ingredients for hearing God's voice in our lives. Number one, key ingredient that you and I need to hear God's voice is the right shepherd. This might sound simple, but it's very important. You better make sure that you have the right shepherd, the right voice speaking to you. And Jesus here in his analogy says, listen, I am the shepherd. Later on he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the voice that you need to listen to. And if you want to grow in hearing him, you better have Jesus front and center in your life. It's absolutely crucial. And when the Bible talks about the word of God, it uses two Greek words. One of those Greek words is the word rhema, which means the active spoken voice of God. So when Jesus says man does not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes from the mouth of God, Jesus is saying we live by every word that is actively coming out of God's mouth right now. His rhema word, his active word to you, his word today. But the other word that scripture uses for the word of God is the word logos. So for example, in John 1 verse 1, John says this, in the beginning was the word or the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. Or elsewhere, verse 14, he says, the word logos became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Who is he talking about? Well, logos means the embodiment of God's word in a person. And John is saying, if you want to know what God's word to you is, then God's word is summed up fully and perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the word of God to you. And if you want to know what God is speaking, if you want to know what God's priorities are, if you want to know what God looks like, if you want to know what his agenda is for your life, if you want to know what God's nature is, then you must look at Jesus and have the right shepherd front and center in your life, because he is the word of God. He is God's first and final word to you. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You don't ever get past Jesus. You don't ever graduate from Jesus. If you want to hear God, you've got to have the right shepherd in your life speaking. And so the question is, do you have the right shepherd speaking? Because the truth is, we have many, many different voices speaking to us in life. So for some of us, the predominant voice that we hear speaking to us is maybe a materialist voice that says, you will have life if you manage to have X, Y, and Z possessions. If you have the latest gadget or the latest car, or if you have this house, or if you have the perfect marriage, or if you have this, that, or the other. If you have these things, then you've really got life. That's the material shepherd, or maybe it's the skinny shepherd. You know, the skinny shepherd voice says, you'll have life if you're skinny as a rake and look like a super glamour model who's been airbrushed anyway. Or there's the independent shepherd who says, you'll have life if you do it all your own way and don't listen to anyone else's advice. Then you'll have life. Then you'll have dignity. Then you'll have purpose. Actually, there are many, many different shepherds and voices speaking to us. But Jesus, you see, many times when he speaks, he says, listen, I tell you the truth. Difference with Jesus above all those other voices is that Jesus speaks the truth, and his words have life in them. They have the ability to change. They have the ability to impact you. They have the ability to draw you into what is really true. Remember a number of years ago, a lady called Sue, a friend of mine, came to our church where I used to be in Newcastle for the first time after many, many years. And she was reluctant to come because she was on her fifth marriage. And her reasoning was, if I go to church and they find out about my life, they will reject me because Christians are judgmental and they won't like it if they found out what I've done in my life. But her new husband, her fifth husband, persuaded her to come. And so she sat at the back of the meeting. And during the course of the meeting, someone opened up the Bible to John chapter 4, where Jesus is talking to a woman at the well. And those of you that are familiar with that passage know that Jesus sits down with this woman and says to her, the man you're living with now is not your husband. In fact, you've had five husbands. At which point this lady nearly falls off her seat because she thinks, who has told them that I'm here? But it's enough to make her curious, so she comes back a second week. The second week that she comes, the passage that the person is preaching from that week is John chapter 4. And again, she hears loud and clear, the man you're living with is not your husband. You've had five husbands. And again, she is freaking out, wondering who on earth has told them about her. But it's enough to make her come back a third week. So she comes back a third week. It's a family service. Someone, again, during the meeting, opens up John chapter 4, not a word of a lie, reads exactly the same passage. You've had five husbands. By which time, this lady is just gobsmacked. And she's suddenly just aware that God knows her. And that there is a shepherd whose voice sounds above all other voices. And she signed on to an Alpha course very soon after, gave her life to Christ. They're both members of the church this day. She had this amazing moment where suddenly she heard the voice of Jesus above all these other voices in her life. And I say, when you hear Jesus, everything changes. And the interesting thing is that you may be here tonight and you may think, well, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure that I believe in Jesus yet. And yet the truth is, even in that state, even in that moment of not really being certain about whether you want to follow him or not, the truth is you can also start to hear Jesus speaking to you. Research shows, for example, that an unborn baby can learn to recognize its mother's voice even in the womb. And studies show that a baby's heart rate increases when its mother speaks because it's excited and because it's learning to hear the voice of the one who's going to love that child for the rest of its life. And the truth is, for some of us, even before we come to faith in Christ, even in meetings like this, you can start to feel your heart beat faster. And you know what's happening? Jesus is starting to speak to you. Jesus is drawing close. You're starting to recognize the sound of the one who loves you above all other voices, above all other people. And that may be you right now. You might be here right now and your heart is just pumping a little bit faster. Well, that's Jesus drawing near to you. So you must have the right shepherd in place. Look to Jesus. He is the Logos of God. Second key ingredient is you need some sheep. So Jesus says, I mean, that is a cute sheep, isn't it? I found the cutest sheep that I could. You need some sheep. In other words, you need some people with the ability and capacity to listen and to hear. And again, I think for many of us, maybe we're here, and if we're honest, we'd say we struggle to hear God speaking to us. Maybe it's an area where you feel very weak, maybe disqualified. Maybe you're thinking, well, perhaps hearing God is only for a few individuals who know how to tune in. Maybe you're thinking that right now. But listen, the truth is, and I believe Jesus is trying to communicate that in this passage, that sheep, while fairly stupid animals, all have the capacity to be able to hear the shepherd. None of them are excluded. The only thing they need are ears and the capacity to hear. They don't need a theological degree. They don't need to have read Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. They don't even need to be pretty. They don't need to be intelligent. All they need is ears to hear. And the truth is, if you belong to Jesus, then you are hardwired to hear his voice speaking to you. And none of you are excluded. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. If you are one of Jesus' sheep, it's your inheritance to hear his voice, period. It's not for an exclusive little elite company of prophets over here who hear God for you. You don't need to go to a priest and confessional who will hear God for you. If you're a sheep in Jesus' pen and pasture, you get to hear him, bar none. That is your inheritance. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't really hear God, I'm not very prophetic. Rubbish, absolute nonsense. The moment that you are born again, you are born hardwired to hear his voice and to crave hearing his voice above all other voices in your life. And actually, it's his voice that you will hear for the rest of eternity long speaking to you, and you will never grow tired of it. This is not an exclusive deal. And that's why when the Holy Spirit is poured out in the early church in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and preaches his first sermon on the streets of Jerusalem. And he quotes the prophet Joel and he says, listen, in these last days, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That means if you are a man or a woman and you belong to Jesus, you qualify. If you're a son or your daughter, you qualify. If you're a sheep, you qualify. So can we please banish all sense of disqualification in your head and my head? Because that is not biblical and it's not true. If you are God's child, it is your inheritance to hear your father speak to you. Full stop. And it should be your aspiration. It's an all-inclusive deal. And you might ask me the question, well, how come I find it so difficult to hear God? How come, you know, sometimes when I hear it, it seems so kind of veiled or misty or obscure? Or how come God speaks in picture language and symbols? How come he doesn't just speak right now and tell us what he thinks? Why do I find it so difficult? Well, here's just a few thoughts and answers for you. One is, I think when we live with a sense of hunger to hear his voice in a deeper, clearer way than we do now, it is an impetus for intimacy with Jesus. Not as this morning I said, an impetus for impotency, which is something completely different. But actually, I don't know about you, but in those moments where I'm straining to hear him clearer, for me, it's an invitation to come deeper in my relationship with him, knowing that actually there is a promise of greater clarity. There is a promise of me being able to hear him more clearly than I do now. And if you live with a sense of frustration, then let it be something that drives you closer to him so that you can hear him more clearly. Another reason is this, is that sometimes God hides things for us, but never from us. Proverbs 25 verse 2 says, "Is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but to search out a matter is the glory of kings." You see, some treasures are hidden because God wants you to have the adventure and the joy of finding things that he has hidden in him. And you see, when you play hide and seek, it's a very different game when you're a child and when you're a parent. You know, when you're a child and you play hide and seek, the object is not to get found. You know, I'm going to find the hardest hiding place I can, and I'm going to stay there all day if necessary because I want to win. But when you're a parent and you're playing hide and seek with your child, you want to be found. You want your child to find you, so that if you're hiding behind the sofa, you're like, "I'm over here." Or you dangle a leg out of the back of the sofa, "I'm over here," because you want them to find you. And that's part of the adventure, is that they find something that's hidden. And I believe that's true in hearing God, is that there are treasures to discover in God that we get to enter into the adventure of by seeking after and saying, "God, there are unlimited treasures in you, and I'm going to seek you for them. And I'm not going to let go until I have all that you have in your heart for me." Another reason is this, is that this side of eternity, Scripture says that we see as in a glass dimly. Now, Paul, when he writes those words, is thinking not about the mirror in your bedroom, but he's thinking about the first century Palestine mirror, which didn't really give a very clear reflection at all. It just showed you kind of an outline, a kind of vague image. It was quite a dull thing, a mirror in first century Palestine. And he's saying, listen, at this side of eternity, it's like we're looking in a mirror and we only see a dull reflection. But he said, there's coming a day when all that will be stripped away and you will be with Jesus forever. And he says, then you will fully know, just as you're fully known. He says, now I see in part, but on that day I'm going to see fully. And I believe in those moments where we sense the frustration of being able to hear God only a little bit or only partially, again, it's a reminder to us that this is only a temporary gig. You know that, don't you? This is only a temporary gig. And everything that you taste in this life is a little token or foretaste of the much greater reality. So, for example, if you're married, it's a small token and taster of a much greater reality, which is you're going to be joined and united with Christ for the rest of eternity. Marriage is a picture of something much greater. And in those moments where you sense the frustration of, God, I can only hear you a little bit, it's a promise of something much greater to come. There's going to come a day where you hear his voice with crystal-like clarity, and there will be no restriction whatsoever. Whew! I'm looking forward to that day when you hear him like a clear trumpet sounding on a clear day. There'll be no restriction. There'll be no muddle. There'll be no lack of clarity. And another reason why perhaps we don't hear God very clearly is that there is a process of needing to learn the language of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks a language that you and I need to learn if we're going to grow in hearing his voice. And I want to talk about that just a little bit now. Because the truth is, again, the moment that you were born again into Jesus' kingdom, you were born bilingual. Okay? You were born bilingual. So most of us can speak one earthly language, but also the moment that you were born again into Christ's kingdom, hardwired into your DNA as a Christian believer was the ability to speak and understand heaven's language. And part of the process and joy of your Christian life is learning to discover that language and speak it fluently. And it's a little known fact that I personally speak seven languages. English, obviously, Spanish, French, German, Polish, Irish, and tongues. Seven languages. And I can say the dog is white in all seven of those languages. I'm very, very fluent in all those forms of communication. Languages is not my forte, it never has been. But the truth is, there is a language to learn of the Holy Spirit, the way in which he speaks to us. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says this, "The person without the Holy Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but he considers them foolishness. He cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Holy Spirit." And the good news is that you have a wonderful interpreter living right inside of you called the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, when he comes, the counselor from heaven, the Holy Spirit, he will lead you into all truth. He will counsel you, he will show you, he will take the things of me and he will make them known to you. And so learning the language of the Holy Spirit is about learning to walk with him in relationship. Because the truth is, Jesus will speak to you in a very unique way because he loves you personally. So the person you're sitting next to will likely hear God speak to them in a very different way than you do. So you don't need to do a whole kind of copycat exercise. You don't need to do a whole kind of comparison exercise. Gosh, I wish I heard God like that person. No, actually, God loves to speak to you out of his personal relationship with you and connect to the way that you're wired. And we're all wired very differently. So here are some key ways that we see God speak to us. This is not an exhaustive list by any means. Number one, perhaps the first key way that the Holy Spirit will speak to you most often is through the pages of the Bible. So you have here 66 books of absolute gold mine of God's words to you. And the wonderful thing is you can wake up every single morning and find out what God wants to say to you. So if you're hungry to hear his voice, this is a great thing to pick up tomorrow morning. Because this book is actually inspired by the Holy Spirit. He wrote this book. He was involved in this book being authored and brought into being. And if you want to hear him, then this is a priceless book. I remember having a dream many years ago, and in this dream, someone came up to me and said, "Phil, how much is your Bible worth?" And I looked at it, and it was this Bible in my dream. And I said, about 30 pounds, about 30 quid. And the guy in the dream looked at me and he said, "Do you know how much my Bible is worth?" I said, "No." He said, "My Bible was priceless." And then the dream ended and I woke up. And it was just one of those amazing reminders from God to me of actually the priceless nature of Scripture. That this is a treasure chest of hearing his word. And I would encourage you, as PJ was saying last week, to read Scripture, but also ask the Holy Spirit in to be the interpreter, to be the revealer, to be the illuminator. So you're not just reading it cold, but you're saying, "Holy Spirit, speak to me today through the pages of Scripture. Show me what you want to say to me." And I tell you, you will begin to find the Holy Spirit speaking to you daily and often as you do that. So Scripture is God's voice to us. And actually, Scripture is the standard, really, by which you judge all other forms of God's communication to you. And you're always asking this question, this other stuff that I'm hearing and dreaming and pictures and visions and so on, does it line up with the most authoritative form of God's voice? Does it line up with Scripture? That means get to know this book very, very well. Another way which God will speak to us is through impressions or burdens. So I don't know if you've ever in life kind of carried suddenly a sense of burden or passion for a person or an area or an issue in society that just you can't shake. And no matter what you do, you wake up thinking about that issue or thinking about that person. You cannot help but pray for that person. You cannot help but have them on your mind through your working day. And often one of the ways in which God speaks to us is by giving us a burden. And the Hebrew word for that is massa, which literally means like carrying a pack on your back. So prophets like Habakkuk and Zechariah, this is one of the key ways that God spoke to them. God would literally put his burden for an issue on their back, and they would carry it. And it would drive them to prayer. It would drive them to seek God. So for some of you, that would be one of the ways in which God speaks, a burden for a particular area. Another way is through our physical senses and our bodies. Often, this seems to be the case for words of knowledge, for healing, that God will speak through your physical senses and give you an indicator of what he wants to do. So this can happen in many, many different forms. I remember praying that God would start giving me words of knowledge a number of years ago. And one Sunday morning, as I was preparing to go to church, I suddenly had a pain right in the middle of my stomach, my chest, just here. And it was a bit irritating, to be honest, as I was praying. And I was saying, God, please take this pain away. It's irritating. And then I suddenly thought, hang about. I've been asking God for words of knowledge. Maybe this is a word of knowledge for healing. At which point, the pain disappeared. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. Went to church that morning, and at the end of the service, just very simply said, I think someone is here. You've got a pain right in the middle of your chest. We'd like to pray for you. Lady came forward, and to cut a long story short, she not only got healed of this pain in her chest, which she had from a chest infection, but also God began to do a very, very deep work in another area of her life. And it was this, that she suffered from hereditary depression that went right throughout her mother's line and her grandmother. And she was a lady in her early 50s. She had suffered from depression for around 25 years, very, very long-term depression. And as she was being prayed for, as the prayer finished, she said, I think God might have done something in this area of my life. Now, if that's the case, it's something you've got to go away and test. You've got to try that out. You've got to go and talk to your GP. You've got to pray. You've got to process. And to cut a long story short, she was completely healed in that instant from hereditary depression. I mean, it was an incredible, incredible miracle. And after months of having checked it out and seen her GP and him sign her off all her medication, she went around to her mother's house, who wasn't a Christian believer, and said, Mum, you never guess what Jesus has done. He's totally healed me of depression. And her mum said, would you please pray for me? And so she had the privilege of praying for her mother in her own home, in her living room. And again, her mum gets instantly touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she feels a warmth in her body. And again, to cut a long story short, she gets completely delivered in that moment from depression. I mean, it was an incredible miracle. And so she comes on Alpha course at the church. She gives her life to Christ. And both of those ladies, good friends of mine, are part of the church still to this day. This is like 5 years ago. I mean, an incredible, incredible miracle. But do you see how it came just from a very, very subtle physical sensation that easily could have been missed? And you see, sometimes we've got to live life intentionally looking for what God wants to say to us. And even our physical bodies can be conduits for what God wants to say. Another thing is this, God will often speak through pictures and visions. So you remember young Jeremiah, who's about 17 or 18 years old, God calls him to be his mouthpiece, a prophet. And his induction into hearing God, God asks him a question. Do you remember what question he asks? It says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah says, I can see an almond tree. God says, well done, you've seen correctly. Now what do you see? He says, I can see a pot of boiling water tilting out to the north. And then God gives him a prophecy about judgment coming to the north. And very, very simple pictorial language got Jeremiah into hearing God's voice for the first time. And often this is a key way when you're first starting to listen to God, start listening to the thoughts and images and pictures that suddenly fly into your mind when you're praying, when you're going about your daily business. Because often those thoughts, those pictures in your mind are God's communications to you. And this is actually a wonderful way, if you've got children, to actually initiate them into hearing God's voice as well. So we do this frequently with our kids. One day when my son was 6 years old, and forgive me if you heard this story, we were in the bathroom brushing our teeth, and he suddenly says, mid-flow, Dad, God never speaks to me. Can you tell me how to hear him? And I said, okay. I talked to him about pictures. I said, God often gives me a picture, and then he tells me what it means. And he said, well, can we give it a go? Can we try? I said, yeah, okay. So he sat himself down on the toilet. He put the lid down first and sat himself down and assumed holy position. And we said, and he's about 6 years old at this particular moment. And we say, Jesus, please come and give Sam a picture. I say, have you got anything yet? He says, yes. I said, what have you got? He says, I've got a picture of you praying in your bedroom. Okay, that's good. I said, what do you think it means? I have no idea. Okay, shall we ask Jesus? Yeah. Jesus, please come and show Sam what this picture means. And after a while, I said, have you got anything? He says, yeah. I said, what do you think it means? He says, I think God wants you to pray more, Dad. which was brilliant and was accurate. And so my daughter, who again was about 7 years old at the time, says, Dad, can I have a go? Can I have a go? We do the whole same thing. And immediately she gets this picture of these two straight lines like a train track. I said, what do you think it means? And she prays. She says, I think it's a picture of mummy's back, how God wants mum's back to be perfectly straight and free from pain. Oh, just two beautiful, very simple encouragements from God that a 6 and a 7 year old can get instantly. I mean, I've literally seen children who've been born again for 10 seconds instantly hear God. Remember one young girl, she was nine years old, a young girl called Philippa. We led her to Christ in a kids' meeting. And it just so happened that she came to Christ as a result of another prophetic word that a girl had for her in that group. So we led her to Christ, and then we carry on praying for everyone else. She is the first person to prophesy over the next girl. Now, she doesn't come from a Christian home. None of her parents are Christians. They've never got, haven't got any church history. And she says, I've got this picture of you at a banquet, at a wedding feast. And she says, I can see you sitting with Jesus, and there's a whole banqueting table laid out for you. And she says, the first course is like the first bit of your life, and then the middle course. And then she says, and the last course is when you die, at which point I'm starting to get worried. And she says, but that is the best and sweetest course of all, because when you die, you're going to be with Jesus forever. I mean, flipping heck. She's been saved 5 seconds. And she's hearing Jesus speak to her from the language of the Bible that she doesn't even know. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And so picture language is a great entry point into hearing God. And I would encourage you, if you struggle to hear from God, simply use that model. Say, Jesus, please give me a picture. And then tell me what it means. Start there. That's how I started. And that's how Jeremiah started. Another way that God will speak is through dreams. Just wave at me if you dream a lot. Yeah, oh, lots of dreamers on this side particularly. God will often speak through dreams and frequently does so in Scripture. And again, it's just an amazing way of God bypassing our kind of, some of our normal defenses. And he gets us while we're asleep. And he speaks to us dreams. Sometimes dreams that are clearer than others. Some dreams need processing, interpreting, talking about with others. Others are really clear. I mean, when I was deciding whether or not I should move to Bedford or move to Canada or go somewhere else, as I was a couple of years ago, I remember I had one dream one night, and in this dream, I was sitting with a number of friends that I knew. One of them looked directly at me, and he started to prophesy and speak to me, and he said, there are many strategic cities in the UK, but he said, God wants you to know that Bedford is an incredibly strategic place, and that's where he wants you to move. I mean, it was literally that clear. And so here we are. But God can speak to you through dreams. I mean, I literally know people's lives who've been saved through dreams that people have had for them. So God will communicate through your dreams. And I would encourage you, if you can, put a notebook by your bed. Write down the things that you dream. Now, some of them will be the cheese you had before bedtime, but not all of them. You know, sometimes those of you that dream, sometimes you wake up and there's a sense of significance about what you've dreamt. You know what I mean? There's a sense of weight about it. It lingers with you. It stays with you. Those ones often grab hold of and start praying and processing. And then another way that God will speak is through actual words or thoughts. You know, Paul on the road to Damascus is a great example. Suddenly Jesus begins to speak to him, say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He actually hears the voice of God speaking to him. And again, God can speak to us through words. More often than not, it seems they're not actual words that you can hear in a kind of auditory sense, but they are inner, internal, processed words, but words nonetheless. Again, God can speak to you in that kind of a way. I mean, again, just numerous examples of this happening through the years. I remember many years ago when I was newly married and I was unemployed. I'd been unemployed for about 6 months and desperate for a job. My wife was pregnant. The pressure was on. I had to get work. And I remember praying a lot in those days and saying, Jesus, please give me a job. And I remember walking in a park in Gateshead in the northeast, and I suddenly felt God begin to speak to me. And he said, when you get home today, you're going to get a phone call. And he said, the phone call is going to be an offer for work. It's going to be 2 weeks' work. He said, I want you to take it, but you to know it's not the job that I have for you. In 3 weeks' time, you're going to have an interview for the job I want you to have. All came just like that in a sentence, in a paragraph. So there's only one way to test that, which is go home and wait by the phone, see what happens. And so I did, and my recruitment agency, an agency called Reed Employment, who I was signed up with, phoned me up and said, do you want 2 weeks' work working at the university giving out grant checks? And I said, yes, I'll take it. So I did. I worked at the university for 2 weeks giving out grant checks to students. 3 weeks after that, I got an interview for a community development worker post at a council in Northumberland, and it was the job I had for the next 4 years. And it was amazing. And I had such incredible peace because God had spoken so clearly. And so God can speak to you through words, sometimes single words, sometimes sentences, sometimes paragraphs. Again, often they're like thoughts that fly through that you've got to grab hold of. And you see, for some of us, I think maybe that's where we struggle, because we have thoughts and instantly we think, oh, I just made that up. Anyone do that? Oh, I just made that up. But oftentimes, that is God beginning to speak to you. Now, sometimes maybe you are making it up, but sometimes it's God beginning to communicate. And I remember once in a meeting I was in, a bird got into the building where we were meeting and was flying around everyone's heads during the worship time. And like everyone was kind of ducking and all this. Suddenly one guy stood on his chair and just went and caught it midair. It was absolutely incredible. Got it in his hands. He was a farmer. And took it outside and released this bird. I mean, it was incredible, incredible, skillful catch. But I often think about that when I think about catching hold of the thoughts and impressions and words that God gives you when he's beginning to communicate. Because it is like you've got to grab it. I'm going to take that. And I'm going to start praying and processing it and asking God what it means. And for some of us, there's that deliberate action of saying, right, I'm going to catch that bird. I'm going to catch that word. And I'm going to start dialoguing with God about it. Okay, one more thing. I'm not going to go through all the stuff I have, but just one more thing to say before we pray together is that Jesus says this, that we need an ear to hear. And he says that his sheep listen to his voice. And good listening skills are actually incredibly intentionally developed. Okay, when you become a good listener, it actually is a skill. You have to intentionally listen to someone. And I don't know if you've got friends who you know are great listeners. And you love to sit down with them because you know that they listen to you well. That's a skill. And Jesus is saying, listen, my sheep listen to my voice. And I believe there's something about us being very intentional and active about tuning in to what God might be saying. Because the truth is, God is speaking all the time. See, if you had a radio right now, you could tune your radio into 909 medium wave, and you would pick up Radio 5 Live that is broadcasting across the nation right now. You could find out about the Grand Prix. You could find out about the rugby tomorrow. It's broadcasting right now. Why can't you hear it then? Because you haven't tuned in. You haven't been intentional. You haven't got your gadget out and, you know, done the stuff and tuned up, hooked up. And actually, listening is an incredibly active process. If you want to hear what God is broadcasting and saying, there's a process of intentionally saying, I'm going to go after that. I'm going to tune in. I'm going to focus my life in such a way that I hear much more frequently than I do now because I'm deliberately looking for his voice. And there is a part in your brain called the reticulating activating system. I don't know if you realize that. And it's called the RAS. And the RAS in your brain is the system in your brain that filters out a lot of the information that you're constantly getting about the world and enables you to focus on the object of your attraction and desire in that particular moment. So, for example, if you decided you were going to go and buy a red car, what would happen in your brain is that your brain would suddenly filter out all the other cars, and as you're driving along the road, you would suddenly see all the red cars that everyone's driving. And you would think to yourself, I've never noticed those before. It's like everyone's driving a red car. Now, the truth is they were always there. It's just that now you notice them because you're intentionally looking for them. That's exactly the same with the voice of God. If you will live in an intentional way and be so magnetically attracted to the hearing of his voice, even your brain will begin to tune itself to look for him and hear him when he speaks. And there are some practical things that you can do to hear him, to be intentional. Number one, when you are praying and you're talking to Jesus, make sure you leave space for him to talk back. You would do that in any normal relationship. Well, do it with God as well. If you fill all the airtime in your prayer time, then it'll be difficult to hear his voice. So leave some time to listen. You know, so often there'll be moments. Often, actually, for me, in preparing sermons and messages, I will walk. I'll do a kind of hour walk, and I'll just pray very gently in tongues under my breath for that hour. And often what I find is that God just begins to speak to me as I still my heart, as I engage and commune with him. I begin to listen to what he wants to say to me. So listen, ask him. Another thing is just be ready. You know, have a notebook or a voice recorder or a journal or something to write in. Again, I remember as a young man learning to hear God for the first time, I would carry an A4 bit of paper around in my pocket wherever I went and a pen because I wanted to be ready. If God spoke, I could write it down and be a good steward of what he was saying. Another thing is in worship times, maybe you don't want to sing all the time. Maybe sometimes you just want to listen. Listen to him. Another thing is to find stillness in your life. You know, is the background ambient volume of your noise, of your life, quiet enough to actually hear him? You know, is there a place that you can go where it's like a restful place where you can hear his voice? Because again, when there's so much noise, so much busyness, so much bustle in your life, so many things you're juggling and carrying, you need to ask yourself, is the background ambient volume of my life so noisy that it's drowning out his voice? Have you got a place where you can hear him? And then, of course, ask other people to pray and prophesy over you. One of the ways God loves to speak to you is through other people. So guys, I want to encourage us this year to actively and intentionally go after hearing his voice because his words have life. Isaiah says this, prophesying from God. He says, listen, hear me that your soul may live. True life is in the hearing of his words.